Thessalonians chapter 2. It's good to have our Richmond members with us tonight. We'd like to begin reading with verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is your hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye, church, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye, church, are our glory and joy. Ye, church, are our glory and joy. We see here we've been studying the book of Thessalonians for several weeks. We've been studying here the last couple of weeks about his work, about Paul's work. We studied a little bit about his walk. And we left off with studying about his word. And so here in verse 13, in verse 12 really, he says, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom in glory. Who has called you unto his kingdom in glory. He's continually calling us. We that are saved by the grace of God, he is continually calling us. He's called us unto salvation. He's called us unto a holy life. So he is continually calling us. And then in verse 13 where we left off, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So when Paul arrived among the Thessalonians here, and he preached to them the gospel, they received his word. And they didn't receive it as of the word of men. They received it as the word of God. And I believe that those who come and listen to the word of God as the pastor preaches, I believe that they should receive the message from him and receive it as of the Lord. This is not Brother Jones's message. The message I preached this morning was not Brother Jones's message. It was a message from the Lord. And each time that we come into the house of God, you need to receive the message as from the Lord. As from the Lord. That puts a lot of responsibility on this pastor, doesn't it? And I want you to pray for me that I'll have the message that God would have me to preach. Not my own message, but the message that God would have for each one. We see here that Paul was very much burdened about the churches that he preached to. And he was burdened here for the church at Thessalonica. He was a lover of church truth. He had a great love and a great concern for the Lord's churches. And so we need to keep that in mind as we study this, that he's talking to the members, to a bunch of people that are saved by the grace of God and people that are members of the church here at Thessalonica. And so the word the Thessalonians received was still working in them. It was still working in them. And I'm so thankful that the Word of God is a living Word. It's a living Word. And He works in our hearts through the Word of God. He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it. He'll complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. How's He going to do that? He's going to do that by the preaching of the Word of God. And so it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. So the Lord is continually working His Word in us. And we have a series of messages on that. Some things that God works in us. And I preached on that for about a year, I believe. Some things that God works in us. There's a lot of things that He works in us. So if we stand for the same truths that He stood for, we are going to be hated for the truth's sake and so on, as he bears out here in these verses here. Now he says also here that He effectually, notice here in verse 13, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. To effectually work is to work a thing to completion. You might want to write that down right there. To work a thing to completion. That's what the word effectually means. He is going to work it to completion. The Lord is not going to try to do His will in the life of His people. He's not going to try to do that. He is going to do that. He is going to do that. He doesn't halfway save a person. Once He starts a work in your heart, He is going to complete it. That's a reason that we believe in the effectual call. The effectual call. When the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you and working in your heart concerning salvation, you've had it. He's going to work that to completion. We don't know when that is going to be, but you will come forth. I believe that you will be born again. You will be saved by the grace of God. He works when He starts something in our hearts. He works it to completion. He works it to completion. And He does what He pleases. And when He pleases. And nobody's going to hinder that work. Nobody's going to hinder Him. He's going to work it to completion. That's a blessing, isn't it, to know that truth? And you look at your own life, you can see that that's true in your own life. Just by experience. From what you've experienced about salvation. And about things that the Lord has laid upon your heart to do, you end up doing them. He started working in your heart about something, you end up doing it. I went for about a year about the Lord dealing with me about preaching. And I never will forget, Brother Eugene Clark was holding a meeting at Faith Baptist Church in Jackson, Michigan, where I was a member. He came and preached every night. And he was from Detroit. He pastored the Grace Baptist Church in Detroit. We was about 100 miles away from Detroit to Jackson. And Brother Turner, that Saturday night, said, Brother Clark would be going back to his church to preach in his church Sunday morning. And I said, phew, made it. And then he said, in his next breath, he said, but he'll be back Sunday night to preach. So he came back Sunday night and preached, and he preached on, "Come unto me, all you that are burdened, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And again, I shot out of that pew like a bullet. I felt that God had been dealing with me and working with me, and he completed that work. Or he's still working on it, really. I surrendered. I thought I surrendered then, but I found out that it was an everyday surrender. And I believe that's that way in our Christian life. We surrender every day to do what the Lord would have us to do, in living for him and serving him. But the Lord works it to completion. When he wants us to do something, we're going to do it. I've had some say to me that they want to get more involved in the work of the Lord and the work of the church. And the Lord will work that in your heart, and he works that to completion. He works everything to completion. He effectually works in our heart. Effectually. And he effectually calls sinners unto salvation. Doesn't work any other way. He effectually works in your heart. And he shows you he's not going to start working on your heart and stop. He's going to work it to completion. And so we see here that these church members at Thessalonica, they appreciated the Word of God. They appreciated the Word of God. We see that they also appropriated the Word of God. They not only heard the Word, but they took it into their inner soul, and they made it a part of their life. They made it a part of their life. And not only did they appreciate it and apply it or appropriate it to their life, but we see also they applied the Word of God. They applied the Word of God. They obeyed the Word. The Word of God went to work in their lives. You don't do the work of God because what Brother Jones thinks. You do the work of God because God wants you to do that work. And you're doing it for Him. You're doing it for His honor and for His glory. You don't come to church because you're afraid that Brother Jones is going to jump all over you with a sermon the next week. No. You come to church because you love the Lord. Because you're motivated by the love of God. The Word of God motivates you. The love of God motivates you to do what you do. You don't stop doing anything or start doing anything in the service of the Lord, but because of the love of God. That is a motivating factor, because you love the Lord. And these people here, they applied the Word of God. They obeyed it. And the Word of God went to work in their life. In fact, in the book of James, turn back here to the book of James. The book of James. If you still have it there in your Bible. A lot of people say that book wasn't inspired, so they ripped it out. I've heard people tell me that. That book of James wasn't inspired, so they just ripped it out. But look here in the book of James. Look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart of filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls and to save your life. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of the word. And that's what he was saying here. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You ever come to church and sit and listen to the message, get in the car and drive on the way home? You say, what did he preach? What did I preach last Sunday night? What did I preach Wednesday night? said, well, you preached on preferring one another. Is that what I preached? Wednesday night. But he says here, be ye doers, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Satan is going to do everything he can to hinder you, as he says here in our reading. He's going to do everything he can when you come into the house of God to hinder you from hearing the word of God. Because if you don't hear it, you're not going to do it. And so he says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso taketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man, that's all we read. But anyway, we see here very clearly that we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so we are to apply the word of God to our hearts as these church members did here at Thessalonica. And so may the Lord grant us the grace to learn from this verse that the word of God within us is a great source of power in times of testing, in times of suffering, and we need to realize that. So if we appreciate the word, and if we appropriate the word, and we apply the word, then the whole person is going to be controlled by God's word, and he's going to give us the victory from day to day. But we've got to appreciate it just like they did. We've got to appropriate it. And so when we appreciate it, that's going to affect our heart. When we appropriate it, it's going to affect our mind. And when we apply it, if we apply the word, it's going to affect our will. And so our whole person is going to be controlled by the word of God. Y'all follow that? Now notice in verse 14 of our reading. He says, but you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea and in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So we see here that they were faithful to follow the churches in Judea. They were a pattern for them, as we started out in our teaching in this book of Thessalonians. We are to be a pattern. Notice next their persecution. The churches in Judea were persecuted by the Jews. They were persecuted by their own countrymen. We see here the Christians in Thessalonica were persecuted by who? They were persecuted by the Gentiles. They were their own countrymen. And if we stand for the same truths, as we said a minute ago, that they stood for, the world is going to hate you as it hated them. They hated the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews hated him. They hated him so much they killed him. And anybody else that stood for the truth, they killed him. In verse 15, who hath killed the Lord Jesus. That's very clear. Some say, the Jews didn't kill the Lord Jesus. Now, how much plainer do we want it? If we want to accept the word of God as our final authority. Who both killed the Lord Jesus. The Jews killed the Lord Jesus. And their own prophets. And have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. So having mentioned the Jews, who Paul said persecuted the churches in Judea, he himself had done this at one time. He states that the Jews killed the Lord Jesus and many of the prophets of God that he raised up during the times of the Old Testament. And many of our modern theologians today and others try to say that the Jews did not crucify the Lord. But there's too many clear statements throughout the Word of God that prove different. So the Jews here, they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They persecuted the apostles, and they killed the prophets. And Paul wanted them to know that the persecution against the churches was not pleasing unto the Lord. Then he goes on in verse 16 and says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, and to fill up their sins always for the wrath to come upon them to the uttermost. And so the Jews did all that Paul said in the preceding verses and more. He tells us here that they fought against him, and they did everything in their power to keep him from preaching to the Gentiles that they might be saved. The devil does everything that he possibly can to hinder us from preaching the gospel and to be a witness to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ every opportunity that he can. How many times have you gotten in your car and you've said, man, I should have witnessed to them. I should have gave them a track. You know what happened? Satan hindered you. Satan hindered you. There's been times when I've done that. I'd go in and get gas or something, and God being there all by himself working and just collecting money. And I thought about giving him a track, and I'd leave there and I wouldn't say anything to him. And so we need to be aware of that. Satan is going to do everything he can to try to hinder us from preaching the gospel or witnessing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be more aware of that. And I'll tell you how you can be more aware of that. Put some tracks in your shirt pocket. Put some tracks in your suit coat. Put some tracks in your pocket, coat pocket. Put some in your purse. Put some in your glove compartment. Put some above your sun visor. If you're not conscious of it, you're not going to do it. You say, now you got to be led of the Lord. Sure, you got to be led of the Lord. That's just something that the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to do that. No, there's no doubt about it. The Lord will use it for his honor and glory as he sees, as he's pleased to do so. And so he tells us here that they fought against him, and they did everything they could in their own power to keep him from preaching to the Gentiles. And I believe that God patiently waits as sinners rebel against him. And he watches as their measure of sin and their judgment fills up. Now notice there in verse 16. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. And sinner friend, God is patiently waiting as you rebel against him. And he's watching as their measure of sin and judgment fills up. You know what he's doing? It's exactly what he's doing. And when the time is up, God's patience will end, and judgment's going to fall. Judgment's going to fall. What we're going to do for the Lord, we better do today. You better do today. Now notice in verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart endeavored, the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. It was because of persecution that Paul had to leave Thessalonica for a while. But while he was away from them, his heart was present with them. There was always a desire in his heart to come and see him and to be a blessing to him. He had these people on his heart. He had the work of God on his heart. He had a burden for them. And in verse 18 he says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us. So we see that Paul loved them and loved the work of the Lord here in Thessalonica. And he wanted to be with them again. But Satan hindered him. Few people realize the power of Satan and how often he does things to hinder the work of the Lord. Satan's going to do everything he can to hinder the work of the Lord here at Olmsted Baptist Church. Y'all believe that? The devil does not like to see the Lord blessing Olmsted Baptist Church. And we need to be on our toes now more than ever. The Lord has saved 6 souls in the past few months, and he's added 6 people to our church. Satan hates that. And Satan is going to do everything he possibly can to hinder the work of Olmsted Baptist Church. He's going to do everything he can to hinder the spirit and the unity that we have here at Olmsted Baptist Church. We need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of that. He's going to hinder you in your service for the Lord every day. He's going to try to hinder your service. He doesn't like to see you be faithful to the Lord. He doesn't want you to be faithful to Olmsted Baptist Church. And so he's going to do everything he can to hinder that. He's going to hinder our church from having revival. He doesn't like to see us have revival. He's going to do everything he can to hinder our church from having revival. He's going to hinder your home. He's going to hinder your homes. Because he knows that if he can get in our homes, he's getting into our church. Our church is not going to be any stronger than our homes. So if you're fussing and fighting and feuding at home, you're going to fuss and fight and feud in the church. He's going to hinder. Did you ever come to church? And on the way to church, get into a spat? What are you all smiling about? I thought I was the only one that did that. Or you got the kids in the back seat and you're reaching back and smacking one over here and another one over here, and you get to the church and you're so upset, you know. And then we come into the house of the Lord and walk up to everybody. Hi, brother. Hi, sister. Hi, how are you? You know. He's going to do everything he can to try to hinder our service in the church. He doesn't want us to worship and honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ as we come into the church to worship him. He doesn't want us to worship God. And so he's going to do everything he can
to hinder us, and he's going to hinder our homes. And we need to be aware of that. And so he's out to tear up every home of this church. He doesn't want you to have unity in the home. He doesn't want you to have a good spirit in the home. He doesn't want you to have a spiritual atmosphere in the home, because that's going to affect the church. And I believe that Satan is still hindering the Lord's church today. We've accomplished, I think, quite a bit here since we've started working around the building and getting things done and so on, and things that needed to be done, or we wouldn't have done them. And we need to keep in mind, we got some windows to take care of. I don't know what we're going to do about those windows, but the Lord knows what we ought to do about those windows. But don't let those windows keep us from having a bad spirit in the church. What in the world is a window compared to a precious soul that's saved by the grace of God? And God's people being right with one another and being right with the Lord and just doing what the Lord wants done. We need to keep those things in mind. Anything we do, any business that we take care of, whatever the Lord would have us to do. And so Satan continually works. But we can also resist him. And that's what he told us to do in the book of James. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And I'm going to tell you next week how that we can resist the devil. Several passages of scripture we're not going to have time to deal with. And so we'll leave off right there. The Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. We urge you to come. The Lord has touched your heart with the gift of salvation. Come, let us know about it. Dealing with you about it. You desire to be saved. Come unto him. He's the one that can save you. I can't save you. You don't have to come to me. Come to him. He'll save you. And today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And I've said this over and over and over. The only promise you got is right now. Right now. Come to him now. If you can come, you come tonight.